This podcast replay is brought to you by Craig's Inns, Acura of Pembroke Pines, where you can get the TLX 2020 model for $209 a month, $29.99 due at signing, plus tax, tag, and registration. Check it out at 15601 Pines Boulevard.
All right, we're back, baby. Thank you all, as always, for supporting us, and I'm sorry about the unevenness of the show, because normally we spoiled you for over a year that we were on every day, Monday through Friday, and obviously with everything that's gone on with Onside Radio, and, you know, my life has kind of gotten a little upside down, but it's a good upside down, but I just got to get through all of this and figure everything out, and then once everything is settled and we've put everything together, then I can have something permanent on an everyday basis.
It isn't like you've left them high and dry.
No, I know.
You know, you got them.
Just on Onside Radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, there is an outlet. And actually, you brought even more because you brought a bunch of people with you.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But yes, we're going to keep trying to do this. It's just got to kind of, like you said, man, get this smoothed out and get some normalcy to your life.
Right.
You know?
Right.
This guy's going, there isn't a second from the time he wakes up to the time he goes to bed that he's not texting, talking, doing something, you know, pertaining to helping get sports, South Florida's market straightened out.
Right. Right. I appreciate it. Thank you, as always. There you go. Thank you all out there, as always, for supporting us as you can. Ray says, same here, working from home until late June. Super Boom Shack. Okay, let's see, what else do we have here? GP Trap says, the Miami Magicians were a minor league baseball team in 1912. They ended because of World War I. The Seahawks were the first pro team in 1946. That became the Colts. There we go. Francisco Santana says, you literally look like I would look in 30 years. Trippy. Wow. Well, that's not a good thing for Francisco. You don't really want to look like me. But, hey, man, listen, more power to you. Just wear a mask if you're going to look like me. Let's see, because Lord knows I got a face for radio. Sean Campbell says, can't chat while I'm Comcasted. That's lame. Come on, YouTube. Oh, Chromecasted. Okay. Well, get off the Chrome, bro. Let's get you, you know, another browser in there. Get a little Firefox or something if you can't get Windows. Let's see. What else do we have? Big O is a baller hustler. Got to grind while we can. We try, my brother. We try. We try. Anthony says, Orlando, with the Miami Marlins hiring Kim Ng as their general manager, do you think this opens up more opportunities in the male-dominated sports for a female general manager in the NHL, NBA, and NFL? Oh, it's coming, dude. It's coming. It's going to end up happening. The doors are going to be open for women like they are now, and now they will be able to get the opportunity to get the experience to then build the resume where somebody will trust them. Now remember, everything takes time, my brother. This is right here in Miami. We're the first NFL team to have a black head coach and a black general manager. Nobody does that. Okay? Very few have gone with the black general manager, and very few have gone with the black head coach. To do both, that's crazy. So to do what the Marlins did with Kim is also absolutely nuts. But it'll take a while before we get to that point, you know? Like Becky Hammon with the Spurs, she might be the woman that is the first one to become an NBA head coach. God, I used to have a crush on Becky Hammon when I was young. When she was like an Olympic player, I think it was, in those days, she was smoking, dude, smoking. Lisa Rose chimes in, says, ROC is in the house. A little Rochester is in the house, taking a COVID-19 training break. So excited to watch football on Sundays again. Isn't it awesome, Lisa? And thank you for the work you're doing with COVID-19, Lisa. Thank you so much. Appreciate you all out there. Not only Lisa, but every one of you out there in the front lines, you know, trying to help the rest of us, you know, get our lives back on track. Bones C says, what's up, Big O? One more game, and the wife has to buy me my jersey. Nice. And you know that happens this Sunday, so you get your jersey. Miguel Garcia says, Bill is not working on the other station. Well, actually, Bill is now training to start next week and do some work at the station. So, yes. 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 He just doesn't have the experience that I need early on to build a station. He still is gaining that kind of experience. So that's why. That's the only reason.
I've only been doing this like a year and whatever, and like actually playing with the board like that. What I do, 5 months, six months, and I was only on it for a month and a half. And it's training wheels over here, guys.
Yeah. It's a little different. It's not, put it this way, it has nothing to do with me not wanting him to be there. Put it that way. Okay? It has nothing to do with that. It's just, I got to do things the right way, and I got to build it the right way, and I got to get, like, really, really experienced people, and he's not there yet. That's all.
No, you had to come out kicking the door in and taking names and all. And, I mean, I had no background in this at all. Like, I'm totally green, you know?
Yep. So, all with time, man. Nothing happens overnight, man. Big O, do you think we should get at least two weapons in the draft? It'll happen, Omar. They will get him weapons. Relax. It'll happen, yeah. Just remember, we can't do everything over. We can't live in this microwave society. Everything takes time. And having said all that, Omar, we're in the middle of our second year of rebuild and we're going to the playoffs. That's crazy. So they got a great shot. I shouldn't say we're going to the playoffs, but they got a great shot of being in the playoffs, okay? And that's pretty amazing in their second year. Benjamin Franklin once said, if you want something done as a busy person, there's truth to that statement. After all, the busier we are, the better we manage our time. Oh, God. I don't have enough time in the day, dude. I wish I could. Oh, how do you think it will go over for a female head coach in football or basketball? Choose out a superstar player in front of their teammates. If she's accomplished, if they're winning, everybody will be fine. Remember, it's not about a sex thing. Even though, obviously, we'll have sexist and we'll have chauvinistic approaches to all of this when we're talking about women, that's automatic in life. We know that there's going to be a certain group of men that aren't going to ever accept it, and you can't do anything about that. But having said all that, okay, whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't matter to me. If you're teaching your players how to win, and they are winning, and they're succeeding, and they're reaching their incentives and their contracts and all of that, and then you chew them out, they got no problem with it. Okay? Now, if what you're teaching is not working, if what you're teaching is leading to failure all the time, and players aren't winning, and they're not reaching their incentives, brother, I don't care if you're a man, if you're a woman, if you're both, if you're whatever, if you're a eunuch, okay? I don't care. If you do not teach what's working, you cannot rip into players. They will tune you out. Gone. They don't care. They don't want to know anything about you. How screwed up is that? Right? That's amazingly screwed up. You know, but I think if the woman is coaching it the right way, they'll be able to rip into anybody because players only want to be coached the right way. That's it. And if you're Cam Cameron, dude, it doesn't matter if you have tits, you're going to fail. Okay? You can be Cam Cameron with 44 Ds, right? And a body like Halle Berry. And, yeah, they'll be salivating when they're looking at you. But if you don't know what to do on the field and you're losing and they're being embarrassed and you're Adam Gase and all that, you're done, bro. You're done. So that's really the threshold. Okay? Competent coaches can do whatever they want. Incompetent coaches will never have that kind of freedom or that respect. So that's really what it's all about. Okay? You get it done, you'll be fine. Yes, sir.
Going to be tough, though. because of how,
especially early on,
machismo sports,
sure.
You know, the
sure.
guy world tough, all that stuff.
For sure.
You know, it.
For sure. Now
they're up against it, man.
Now, if San Antonio players have been coached by Becky Hammons behind the scenes, and she's helped improve some players in anything, she is already winning that locker room over. So if Pop steps down and she takes over, it might be an easier transition for her.
Because she has an established relationship and the players have already bought in.
Right. And remember, she's a former pro player herself. So it's
right.
not like
she knows the lay. She knows the lay of the land.
You yeah. know, and Becky Hammon is not a schmuck.
World renowned, like you said, Olympic team.
Yeah, she's,
you know,
she's, yeah. she knows her stuff, dude. So that's the thing. You could be Sue Bird, but you've got to have success, and then they'll respect you. You know what I mean? But it you're right, 1,000% right. There are going to be, you know, hurdles early on that will be brutal for a lot of women.
Look,
that cross that threshold.
Here, gay people coming out in sports. That's still a barrier because of that machismo old.
Yeah.
Neanderthal thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. And in that case, it needs to be a superstar to break the ice. It has to be the superstar that people can't live without on the team. And then they'll accept who you are. And then they'll learn to live with
it. So kind of just crush it.
Right. Right. Exactly. That's what it has to be. It needs to be that, because if you're just a fringe player, then it becomes a novelty. It doesn't really hit home. When it becomes a star, it hits home. And then it's, okay, we need to change, because if players like this are going to be gay, we've got to accept it. You know, it's kind of like the way you got to program these guys.
Well, it's like you talked about, any of that fringe stuff becomes a
novelty.
Adversity in your locker room. You know, something that's pulling away from the main focus. And
right.
coaches don't want that.
It could be a distraction.
Exactly.
Yeah. I get what
exactly.
you're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. No doubt.
It's a shame it's got to be that way, but you're all right, man. Until it's a star.
Right.
Yeah, man. It's going to be an issue.
GP Trap says, I'll take J-Lo coaching over Adam Gase. Hell yeah. GP Trap is thinking of that scene from Weird Science where she, at the end of the movie, she's in the gym and, you know, and the guy is
dropping, give me 20 or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly. That's it. That's what GP Trapp is just thinking those kind of things. Knowing GP Trapp, he thinks of the police academy scene where she flips the guy and her breastises are right on his face. That's what GP Trapp is thinking. And that's good stuff, GP Trapp. I'm with you there. Big O, it's hard for females. If a lady has Adam Gase's type of season, how would they get treated in the locker room? Like crap, bro. Like I just told you that. If you prove you can't coach, you can't lead. If you prove you can coach, you can lead, you can rip, you can joke around, you can do whatever the hell you want. Because the guys will believe you. They will, no. She knows what she's doing, dude. We're winning. I'm reaching my incentives. I've made more money because she's there. I'm good with her. That's going to be the key. That's going to be the key. Guaranteed. I doubt men would ever allow a chick to be the head coach, Joshua says. You need a head coach to relate to the players. Flores endears himself to the players because he grew up in the hood. God, Joshua. Man, that's a terrible take, dude. That's a terrible take. First of all, the chick thing. You know, it's like, wow. And relating to the player, let me ask you something. You are assuming that every player grew up in the hood. That's a terrible assumption, bro. It's a terrible assumption. There's a ton of guys that didn't grow up in the hood. Okay? So that has nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? I think you have a bad perception of NFL players. You think pretty much every one of them are from the hood. And yes, there's plenty of them from hoods. There's from barrios. There's from neighborhoods. You know, there are different kinds of neighborhoods.
Not just that.
But they're not all from a bad part of town.
Well, not just that. Male chauvinist, too, is the way he's making it
that,
sound.
Yeah, that too. The chick thing. Yeah, you know. So it's, you know, damn, Joshua. That was rough. Orlando, do you think superstar athletes like Dwayne Wade, Tim Duncan, and Peyton Manning would be successful as head coaches, or their egos would take over and wouldn't be successful? Anthony, my brother, it is extremely tough to be a great player and a great coach. Think about it. How many of them are there? Bird was a pretty good coach and was a great player. Trying to think of the great player and the great coach. There's not a lot of them, man. It's and usually they fail like Magic Johnson and others because they think everybody can do what they do. Okay? Ozzie Newsome is one of the few people that transferred even to GM and was a great player. You know what I mean? Jerry West was a great GM, never became a coach.
Larry Bird did a decent job.
I said that. That was my first guy that I went to.
That's the only one
good,
that
but
jumps.
He wasn't great. He was good. Wasn't great, but he was good. It's hard, man. Lenny Wilkins, Hall of Fame player, won a championship. You know, that was one of those kind of guys right there. But there's not it's really – Kevin McHale was never a great coach. You know what I mean? It's happened a lot. And great players struggle mostly because they don't know how to deal with the player they're coaching and that player can't do the things he did. And so it's hard for them to comprehend that, and that's why they usually fail as coaches. It's really hard. So it's not a Dwayne Wade thing that he would fail on this. It's not one of those deals where it's not because those players can't do it. It's just a really difficult transition for them. And I almost feel like they don't have a realistic point of view of coaching. They don't realize that most people aren't going to be able to do what they did. So to demand it from them, you know, Mike Singletary, great, great player. It was just hard for him to break that barrier of becoming a great coach, too. It's really difficult, man.
Defensive coach, he was good, but
head coach
took over the head
about.
Coach. That yeah,
tough, but it's not his fault. It's just one of those things that you can't explain, man. You know. Let's see. Without Adam Gase, we won't be in the postseason. Well, in the position we were in, if he can effed up the team, I don't know what that means, Omar. Tom Landry looked like a damn nerd with that hat. How did that turn out? Dude was a genius. Let's see. Joshua, you okay, man? Embrace the education of the O.
The fact that he brought up Landry, you know who's one player that's always bothered me?
What's that?
Frank Gifford. Him playing both ways, and on the offense and defensive side, his coordinators with the Giants were Vince Lombardi and Greg and Tom Landry.
Yes.
And to never be inspired to want to be a coach.
Yep. Most guys don't want to be coaches, bro.
I know. It's just, man, you're talking about, can you get influenced by two bigger guys?
I know, but it's brutal being a coach.
You know?
You got to really love it to be a coach.
Well, he was U.S., I guess, you know, Hollywood glamour glitz boy, you know. And
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to get dirty.
Big O, tell Joshua that Greg Popovich won with the Spurs, and I'm sure that he and the players had different backgrounds. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Marine guy. What's it called? The military guy, for sure. For sure. Yeah, I don't think every coach comes from the hood. I don't think every player comes from the hood. I just don't think that. I think leaders have to learn how to connect with everybody. Somebody rich, somebody poor, somebody educated, somebody uneducated, somebody with a sense of humor, somebody without a sense of humor. I think you've got to learn how to deal with all kinds of different people. Somebody from the countryside, somebody from the hood, somebody from the barrio, somebody from a rich neighborhood. You know, everybody's different. So I believe that, you know, coaches have to have that knack that they can relate to or find a way to relate to everybody. They don't have to live what everybody else has lived, because nobody can do that, because most of us did not live the way everybody else lives. And so that becomes a little bit of a challenge for you. But I think it's more than just what environment you were in. You know what I mean? It's an adaptable thing. It's a talent to be adaptable. You know what I'm saying?
We've heard it from some coaches talking about this player. I needed to give a hug and a pat on the back, and this one, and I need to put my foot in his rear end.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's about, like you said, being able to juggle and know how to reach the individual to get the most out of them.
Yep. Miami Kid Jay says, Big O, nothing against Herbert, but I left that game Sunday thinking our quarterback is better. I'm with you. I thought the quarterback was better before in the draft, now, during the game, and after the game. So I'm with you all the way on that one. Alex from Miami says, Big O, how do you think a female head basketball coach would react to the clueless, half-naked, perfect 10-arm candles sitting on the floor? I mean, first of all, if you think they're going to be naked, those guys will be dressed when the coach is addressing them. They'll, out of respect, the guys will probably put on towels and all of that. There'll probably be an assistant coach that comes in and says, hey, coach is going to talk to you. And so most guys, especially leaders on the teams, will probably, if anybody like wants to stand out with their balls out in the air and all of that, they'll probably get called out. Not at that moment, but once she walks out the door, one of the leaders in the locker room will probably walk over to the guy and say, hey, yo, what the hell are you doing, dude? Have some respect. So I doubt most people will act the way you're talking about, that they're all going to be hanging out, you know, with their schlongs out. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that that's something that's kind of overblown. And here's the other thing I would tell you. When you walk into a locker room, there's a misconception also. Not everybody's naked. Okay? That's the other thing. That's a lie. Yeah, there's a couple of naked guys. Yes, of course. But when you walk into a locker room, all 53 dudes are not naked. It's only a couple of guys. And normally on a post game, those guys are getting dressed somewhere else. And they're coming in semi-dressed to their lockers. They got their underwears on. They got towels. They got a shirt or something. And then they take that stuff off. Not the shirt or the underwear. They just take the towel that they have that they're drying themselves with or whatever. Throw it on the floor. Stand there. And then start to get dressed. So, you know, sometimes I think people make it sound like it's just a sausage fest all over the place. And it's really not, that's not the case in a locker room. It's a couple guys. So I would imagine that if you have a female coach, that when she is going to address players, they will cover up or they will be dressed up. Okay? So there you go. By the way, let me ask you something. It's funny because you see the sexist way of thinking, right? This guy sends in, hey, so what do you think if the female coach walks in and there's schlongs all over the place? And so she's standing there addressing people and schlongs are swinging all over the place. And guys are standing like, hey, what do you think, coach? Yeah, I'm behind you all the way, coach. No, that doesn't happen. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think Gino Auriemma walks into a bunch of naked women? Do you think Bill Laimbeer, who coaches in the WNBA, you think there's just a bunch of naked women when he walks in? Or do you think maybe an assistant coach says, hey, coach wants to dress you? They get dressed. It's funny how it's only thought of by the male one way, but they never think of the other one. And they never think that there actually could be some common decency. Yes, we know that there's the idiot, there's the Antonio Browns of the world. There's an idiot in every locker room. I get that. But more often than not, if you do have a female that is your coach, okay, if the woman needs to dress the players, trust me, they will be dressed. Because I'm sure That's what happens with men who coach women. Okay?
Not just players. Remember, we had comments about, you know, she got to see, you know, Patriot missiles up close and personal.
Oh, yes.
You know, I mean,
yes.
It just doesn't apply to the players, right. The idiots.
Right, right. What was her name? What was the name of that woman that walked into the Patriot locker room? And then the dude, again, there's always an idiot. And then there was a dude that just wanted to, like, show off his schlong to her. Lisa Olson, I want to say. Look it up. Look up reporter that saw Patriot missile. Just put it like that. Report. I want to say it's Lisa Olson. Dude, if I nailed that, okay? I don't know if I should say nail that when we talk about a woman and a penis. I don't know. That just may not be the right thing that you should be talking about, but I want to say it's Lisa Olson. Okay? That'll be amazing if I remember that. All right? Oh, what comes first? A gay superstar comes out or a female head coach in the NFL? Oh, no, gay superstar.
I literally put it in just like that. Reporter who saw Patriot missiles up close.
And?
And? Bro, you freaking nailed it, man.
Lisa Olson?
Lisa Olson is an American sports journalist.
There you go.
Her work has been featured in the anthology.
She's a good reporter.
Patriot missiles up close.
Yeah, she's a good reporter, man. I don't know if she's still working, but yeah, she's a good reporter. I remember. Orlando, the NFL changed the criteria for the Offensive Rookie of the Year award by stats. It should be done, but whatever. Rookie leads his team to the playoffs. I'm not worried. Dude, I don't care about that. I just want our team in the playoffs, man. That's all I care about. I'm not worried about awards. The only award I want, my brother, is something called the Lombardi Trophy. I need to see that one more time. That's the only award I care about. I don't care about MVP. I don't care about Rookie of the Year. I don't care about Defensive Player of the Year. I don't care about Quarterback of the Year. I don't care about Manager of the Year. I don't care about Coach of the Year. I don't care about Assistant Coach of the Year. I don't care about Coordinator of the Year. I don't care about any of that. I just want a Lombardi Trophy. That's all. I just want to be at the Super Bowl. I want to watch my Dolphins win the Super Bowl. And that's it. I'm done. Life is good. Life is complete. Okay? That's all I need. Just need my Dolphins to win the Super Bowl.
The individual accolades are nice, but kind of like the Canes. The two Heisman trophies we have, we're in the national championship game,
right,
and we get beat. And I've said, I don't care if we ever win another Heisman trophy. Give me the national championship. And along those lines,
same thing.
It's exact that thinking, bro.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Anthony says, oh, I'm not sure if you're old enough, but what would have happened if Roger Staubach came in as a rookie at the normal age of a rookie instead of going into the military and coming in his 30s? Did he come in his 30s? I don't think he was in his 30s, dude. I think he was still in his 20s. Wasn't he? I have to look at it, but I don't know what you mean by that. He would have had more stats, bro. He still was a Hall of Famer. Might have won maybe an extra championship. I don't know. No, Dallas is really bad early on. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you mean by it. Let me go over something that happened with the Dolphins today that I don't think I've talked about it. Jordan Howard got cut, and Zach Seiler got a 3-year contract. And I got to tell you something. It's been one of those, Jordan, like the Dolphins have done so many good things this year. They've hit on so many draft picks. They've hit on so many undrafted players. They've hit on so many free agent picks, all of that. Jordan Howard is like one of the very few mistakes that they've made this year. And I understand what they were trying to do. They were trying to have a complimentary player that could help them in power running situations. And that's why they got him. But unfortunately, they ran into a situation where they had a slew of injuries, and then they had to thrust them into a position to be the guy. And unless your offensive line is designed, like it was in Chicago at times, to kind of maul and allow and give him a large portion of carries because he's a big man, he's got to get in a groove. If you're going to spot start him, If you're going to be using him as a complementary piece, he will not adjust. Like most big backs, it's not really Jordan Howard's fault. A lot of big backs, they kind of need a whole bunch of carries to get going and get a feel for the defense and start to punish them a little bit more.
Wear them down, man. Wear them down.
Right. Miami never gave him that opportunity. They don't have that kind of line. And so it didn't work out. No big deal, dude. I don't really care. It's, you know, they've hit on so much that this is nothing. You know what I mean? But I did get the I did understand what they were trying to do. They didn't accomplish it, unfortunately. And now with the other guys, they have versatility. And that's the other thing that happened with Jordan. There was no versatility there. He's not a pass catcher. So now all of a sudden when you do bring him in, the defense knows he's either running or blocking. He's not catching. So that's where...
And right between the tackles.
Right.
Right?
Yes. 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 So that's where that was a problem. And I think they're better off now without him. Because now you're not taking up a roster spot for somebody that you're not really using a lot. He's been inactive a lot, and all you've done is, well, he's got four short touchdowns. Just not the right guy. Zach Seiler ends up getting a three-year contract extension. This is part of the good that's been going on with the Dolphins. They have signed so many good players. They have drafted so many good players that now you see what's going on, and they signed Seiler to an extension. This is a guy who's a former seventh-round pick of the Ravens, was, I believe, on their practice squad. They snatched him off the practice squad, or they had just released him, and then they grabbed him, whatever, either way. But they brought him on, and I remember last year against Cincinnati, he had seven tackles and a sack, and I was like, who the hell is this? And then he didn't play at all in the final game last year. And now this year, he has been a much bigger part of the rotation, and over the last couple of weeks, he's been one of their better players on that D-line. Kid from Ferris State, Division II. That's a great story, and even more impressive is that the front office identified the talent and was able to find it, develop it, and the rest is history. Pretty damn impressive, man. Pretty damn impressive to do that. And Seiler now, obviously, is a guy that's a part of a big-time defense, making a lot of plays, man. Good stuff.
Before we walk away from the Jordan Howard thing,
yes,
does it bother you, though, that some people are complaining about that, especially yes. after the way the kid Ahmed performed?
No, I think it's
like you replaced him. Come on,
it's repulsive that a Dolphins fan would complain about Jordan Howard when your front office has hit on
almost every move, literally
practically every move. It's like you can't even mention it. You know what I mean? You can't complain. And eventually they'll get a stud back down the line, but for now they want to get by with what they have. But eventually they'll spend the first or second rounder on a guy or third, and that guy will become your guy. But yeah, I think any Dolph fan that's complaining at this point is just way off, man, way off.
If you're one of those people, stop. Yes. Cut yourself some slack.
It's ridiculous.
Come on.
Yep. Yep. Joshua says, any news on Miami switching to the retro jersey permanently? No news on it, but it will happen down the line. I don't think it can happen until 10 years out, so I think it's 2023. Okay? So it is what it is. We are going to wrap it up here on the show. We thank all of you out there. As always, first of all, let me thank the Super Chatters, Leon Fresco and Ray Grulong. Thank you, sir, out there, both of you, for giving us a little love on the Super Chat.
Wow.
Recent research has shown...
Super Chat.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, you're being focused on all the wrong sort of details here. You need to forget about all the normal rules that apply to society.
Wasted no time. Super Chat! I thought it was really, 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 really cool.
You should all be very proud of yourself.
I have no response.
Super Chat.
That was perfect.
Good stuff, as always. Thank you, Bill, and thank you to Philippe doing the videos. Appreciate all of you out there, as always, listening. Thank you for the patience. We'll get through this. We'll reestablish everything once I get everything going with the station and my life gets back to a little bit more semblance of normalcy, I'm sure I won't be missing any more days, but I can't promise every other day after this. I'm going to do my best to do this show as much as I can, and eventually we'll get it back on track. But thank you all out there.
I just want to tell you, like, how unlike you, pedestrian, man, 40-minute segments.
Yes.
You know.
Weak.
Like, this so not you, man.
Very weak.
What was it, last week you did an hour and 46 minutes straight, nonstop. Yep. Man, you're kind of slipping here, bro. Are you getting old, man?
I'm getting old. I'm slipping. I'm falling. I can't get up. You know, I'm slipping. I'm falling. I can't get up.
There'll be some people there to help you get up, man.
Yes.
Okay? Just ask. All right.
Yes. All right. We'll see you all tomorrow, okay? Right around the same time, I think. We'll be able to get it done. Y'all be good out there. Much love as always. Thank you for supporting us. Be good. Be safe. Go Inter Friday. Go Dolphins Sunday. We'll see you tomorrow. But I still wanted to say it. Y'all be good. Much love.
Stay safe out there. These numbers are out of control. Wear your mask and wash your hands, please. Have a good one.
The king says wear your mask. And then eat the peanut butter and jelly sandwich later.
We'll see you tomorrow.